on go. I enjoy coming down here to preach the gospel to you. You are an easy group to preach to. That makes preaching easy. And that's a testimony to Rupert's ministry here in the preaching of the gospel. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read this whole chapter. We can never read too much of the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, the same gospel, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, verse 23 will be my text this morning. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. After reading all that, I really don't need to say much. I don't know that I need to say anything, but I'm going to. But just reading the Word of God, and if God is pleased to take His Word and by His Spirit apply it and open my heart, open your heart, we've already had a good morning. Just having the Word of God. Being able to stand in this pulpit this morning and freely read to you God's Word. This is not just another book. This is God's Word. This is His Word. And this is where we go to when we can find comfort and joy and peace. And we find it in Christ, but Christ is never separated from the written Word. The living Word and the written Word are never separated. Never. Now this morning I want to speak to you about this word that came up three times. Hope. Hope. Hope of the gospel. One of the saddest sights in the world is a person who's lost all hope. I've seen that. I've seen that in a person where they had absolutely no hope. They've lost all hope. And you cannot reach that person. You can't reach it. And I've seen in that same person get a glimmer of hope, and it'll put a snap in his step. I remember one time having a conversation with a couple of gentlemen, and this man who had just been so hopeless. He had gotten a little bit of hope, and he left. When he left our conversation, you could tell he was just lifted up, and the gentleman stayed standing there talking to me. He said, "It's amazing what a little hope will do for you, isn't it? Just a little hope." One of the saddest things is a person who has no hope. But one of the greatest joys is when you see someone who's been given a real, genuine hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture. In Psalm 27:3, this person who's been given a hope in Christ, you can't defeat him. You can't defeat him. He says this in the Psalm, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." When a person has that kind of hope in God, in Christ, you can't defeat him. He says, though a host should encamp against me, what do I have to fear? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is that real to you? Is that real to me, that God is for me in Christ? Then I have everything to hope for. Now this hope that is mentioned here in this verse is not a wish. It's not wishful thinking. This hope is expectation. Listen, I expect to be saved. I expect to stand before God accepted based on God's Word. Based on God's Word. I take God at His Word. Scripture says, "Hath He said, and shall He not do it?" That's what my hope is based on. What it's based on. He says here in Colossians 1:23, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." What is a gospel hope? What is a gospel hope? Well, first of all, it's this. A gospel hope is a hope of full salvation. Full salvation. In Colossians 2:10, it says this, "And you are complete in Him." I lack nothing. I need nothing else than what Jesus Christ has provided. I need nothing else. And no one else other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all my hope. You are complete. That word means complete. I lack nothing. Which is the head of all principalities. No one can overrule him. No one can defeat him. I am complete in the one who is the head, who is Lord over all. Now, brother, that's a hope. That's a hope. He says in Colossians 1:22, I read to you, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy. This is how we are going to be presented to God. Holy, unblameable. Now, I can blame myself for things I've done, things that I know I shouldn't do. I've done things just plumb stupid. But before God, I'm unblameable. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That is the way we are being presented by the Lord Jesus Christ before the Father. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That is full salvation. That's what it is to be fully saved. And then it's this, that His people will persevere to the end. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He'll not quit. He'll not give up on me. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good hope. That's a solid hope. That's a solid hope. It all depends on him. And that gives me hope. Real hope. And then it's a hope of the resurrection of the dead. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul, in speaking in the book of Acts, in chapter 24, he says this. And he said, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. I have a hope. Someday, unless the Lord comes back right now, I'm going to die. They're going to put me in a casket. They're going to take me out to the graveyard. They're going to put me down in that grave, lower me down into the grave, put the dirt over me. But I have a hope that someday I'm coming out of that grave. And my body is coming out of that grave, a new body. A new body is coming out of that grave. I have an expectation of that happening. I believe that. And then we have a hope. A gospel hope is this also. Forever, to be forever with the Lord. What we have here, I was telling this to a man this past week. I said, our life on this earth is not much more than a grain of sand on the beach. I expect, and you who believe, you expect to be with the Lord forever. This is temporary. Whatever I'm going through is temporary. I know it is. It may seem like a long time. It may seem like it's never going to end, but it's temporary. Everything in this life is temporary. But someday, I have a hope of forever being with the Lord. Forever being in God's presence without sin. Listen to this in Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's gone. All this is gone. I know some. I can tell. There are some people I can tell that to, and they think I'm a nut. They think you're crazy. Well, I do believe there's coming a time that this earth is going to dissolve. This earth's going to dissolve, and sin is going to be put away. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be none of that. None of it. And he says here, the former things will pass away. That my relationship to Christ, my presence in God's presence is forever. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Look in verse 17. Well, look in verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. These are the words of God. But we will forever be with the Lord. Now what is the foundation of this hope? I have a hope of full salvation. I have a hope of the resurrection. I have a hope of forever being with the Lord. I have a hope of that. What's the foundation of that hope? Not everyone that believes they're going to heaven is going to be there. Many shall say to me, Lord, Lord, I preached in your name. Done many mighty works in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want to be in that crowd. I don't want to be in that crowd. What is the foundation of my hope? Well, first of all, and that is not necessarily in this order, but the sovereign mercy of God. My hope is not built on this, that I straightened up, that I'm living right, that I'm doing this or that I'm doing that. My hope is not built on any of my heritage. The Jews said, we be Abraham's seed. They held on to their heritage. We are the circumcision. Paul held on to that one time. My hope is this, that all of my salvation in Christ is by the grace of God. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. God did not save me or call me or give me this hope because I deserved it. He gave it to me because He would give it to me. It's all in Him. He saved me because He would save me. It was His will to do so. He loved me because He loved me. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, when He saw that we would believe, when He saw that we accepted Him as our personal Savior, when He looked down through time and saw that I would, no, before the foundation of the world, before God created the first thing, He settled this matter of salvation. And it was all of grace. You know, the scripture in Genesis said God looked down from heaven to see if any did seek Him. What's it say? It says none did. The imagination of man's heart is evil, and that continually, and that includes my heart. There's none good, no, not one. And I wrote out by that verse, even me. Even me. According as He hath chosen us in Him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's the way we are before Him. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, not according to what He saw or foresaw or foreknew that I would do. According to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of what? His grace. You know what I'm looking at this morning? Trophies of His grace. Trophies of His grace. That's what we are. Everyone that believes the gospel here, you are a trophy of the grace of God. Wherein He hath made us. Now I want you to notice something here. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us. Does it say He made us acceptable? He made us accepted in the Beloved. Received. If you accept something, what do? You receive it. You receive it. He made me acceptable in Christ. That gives me good hope. That gives me good hope. That gives me a strong hope. And then, here's another foundation of my hope. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The substitutionary work of Christ. If Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, if He paid my sins, He paid for my sins, I don't have any left to pay for. He's not going to punish Christ and then punish me. He was wounded. Look over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I almost preached from this morning. There's so many things I wanted to preach, places I want to preach Christ from this morning. It was hard for me to settle down. It says in verse 4, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our... Now it doesn't just say He bore grief and carried sorrow, does it? He said our. They belong to someone. The sins and the griefs that He bore belong to someone. They belong to a people. Our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Brethren, I heard Henry say this one time. I did the sinning, God did the saving. Did you notice that everything's on His part? The salvation, it's all Him. It's all His doing. Salvation, as Jonah said, is of the Lord from beginning to end. The work of Christ is the foundation of my hope. His person, who He is, God. Think about who He is. Think about God and all that He is. That's who Jesus Christ is. And He died for me. He's my hope. He's my Savior. He's my all in all. Now that's a hope, isn't it? That's a hope. And then another foundation of my hope is this. A gospel hope is this. The immutability of God. It says over Malachi, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Me not being consumed has nothing to do with my good, having a good day, bad day, right, wrong, it has to do with this. God doesn't change. He loved me, He'll always love me. I've loved you, He said, with an everlasting love. Everlasting. Romans 11, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He'll not take them back. He'll not change His mind. He's of one mind, the Scripture says. He's of one mind, and who can turn Him? If God has loved me, He's always loved me. If He has chosen me, they'll never change. He'll never reject me. Never. And then another foundation of this hope is the infallibility of the Word of God. I have His Word on it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And listen, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, brother, that's a hope. When I first heard the gospel, I held on to that scripture. I held on to that. I said, Lord, you said, I think those are the best prayers. It's when you take God's word and lay it before Him. Lord, you said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, I come. I come to you. I come to you for mercy. I come to you for forgiveness. I come to you for full salvation. And you said, hath he said and shall he not do it? You said, he that comes to me, I'll not cast him out. Lord, I come. That's the foundation of my hope. His word. His word. It says in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows everyone that's His. And coming to Him, looking to Him, believing on Him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you know what? I take Him at His word. That's the foundation of my hope. His word. His word. But it says something here. Would you go back now and look in verse 23? If you continue in the faith, in Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, be not moved away from it, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. It has been said that the word of God is full of promises, lest we despair, and full of warnings, lest we presume. I don't want to presume upon the grace of God. Paul, in Colossians 4, and over in Philemon chapter 1, he commends Demas, doesn't he? He commends Demas. And then he says in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me. Forsaken me. I'll go over to Colossians chapter 4 here. Let me show you something. Look in verse 13. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And then he writes, Demas hath forsaken me. What happened? Having loved this present world, having loved this present world. It's like over in Matthew 22 about the seed, the sower and the seed. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Love, Scripture tells us, he that loves the world is an enemy of God. I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to be fooled. I often pray. Lord, the faith that I have, I want to be real. Oh, that it be real. I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to take it for granted. Examine yourselves. It's written in the Word of God. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know you not how Christ is in you, lest you be reprobate? How can one be removed from the gospel? Love of the world, false teaching. False teaching. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful. John says, try. He said, try the spirits. Try all those who stand and preach, try them. How do we do that? By the Word of God. Here's one of the things that I remember so well when I first heard Henry preaching the gospel. I was going to a place, I was Armenian as could be. The place I was going was, they preached nothing. They preached a lie. I mean, they just preached a lie. And when I heard Henry, I kept telling this particular person, something's missing. Something's missing. I don't know what it is, but there's just something here that's missing. And when I heard Henry, I understood what was missing. Christ was missing. Christ wasn't in the message. Christ was missing. Galatians 1, 6 through 7 says this. I marvel, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him. That wouldn't happen to me. You'd be shocked. Peter said, Lord, I won't deny you. I'll die for you. He said, I'll die for you. The Lord said, before that rooster crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. The Lord said at the supper, He said, one of you will deny me. And you know what the disciples said one by one? Lord, is it I? Is it I? Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. We never take this for granted. I never want to presume upon the grace of God. Ever. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel, which is not another, he said. Which is not another. There is no other gospel. But there are many out there preaching another gospel that the Word of God knows nothing about. There are many preaching this morning another Jesus. Another Jesus. I told a man very close to me. He and I talked to each other about the gospel. He's Armenian as could be. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you this. You and I don't believe the same gospel. We don't believe the same God. We're not looking to the same Jesus. And he was just, you should have seen the look on his face. I said, we're not. We're not. It's not another gospel. There's only one gospel. That's a message in itself. But there'll be some to trouble you. And would pervert, twist, like Satan did in the garden, take the Word of God and twist it. You know the Scripture says that if it were possible, that the very elect of God would be deceived? If it were possible, if He would allow it, you and I'd be deceived like that. Satan is so, so subtle. Another way a person can be removed from the gospel is intellect. Intellect. It says in 2 Timothy 3, ever learning. And then what the Pharisees were doing, ever learning, always to. The Lord said to Nicodemus, you are a ruler. You are a ruler in Israel. You studied the scriptures, and yet you don't know what I'm talking about. He didn't know at all what the Lord was talking about when he's talking about being born again. He said, how can I enter my mother's womb a second time? And that's the man who was teaching. That's the man who had their ear every morning. That's the man that was standing in the pulpit. And he had no clue what he's talking about. And he was using the Word of God. They'd go to the temple and the Word of God would be read. And then those scribes and Pharisees, they take it and they twist it. They started introducing their traditions in place of the Word of God. This is the way it's been done here for years. Well, you've been wrong for years. Will you ever consider that? You tell me that all these years I've missed it? If you've missed Christ, you've missed it. When I was telling that lady, I said, there's something missing here. And then when I heard Henry, I told Henry, I said, Henry, what you were saying and what I was reading in the Word of God for the first time matched. It matched. It was like a puzzle that finally came together. And the picture was Christ. Another way so a person can be removed from the gospel is persecution. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it, yet hath he not root in himself. He doesn't have the root of the matter in him. He doesn't have Christ. But doeth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He's offended at God. Why me? Why this happened? You know, you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and the history of the saints. They lived in caves. They were sawn asunder. Read what happened to them because of their belief in God. Because of they held to the Word of God. Now, last of all, I close. I want to give you why the believer cannot be removed from the gospel. Aren't you glad to hear that? Man, don't end on that last note. I want to end on a good note. Why the believer cannot be moved away from the hope of the gospel. First of all, God the Father chose him. God chose me. Christ said, let's get this matter straight. You didn't choose me. I chose you. That's how it goes. I chose you. God the Father chose us in Christ. God the Son redeemed us. My sins have all been paid for. They've been all paid for. They're gone. And God the Holy Spirit has sealed me. I'm sealed with Him. I'm His to keep. But take care of. You who believe, you are sealed with God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And He's in you. We can't grasp that, I know, but He's in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in our midst. It's Christ in me. That threefold cord cannot be broken. It can't be broken. And then listen, God's glory is at stake. God's glory is at stake here. Over in Isaiah, look over in Isaiah 43. Now I'll wind this down. In Isaiah 43. Read verse 5 through 7. Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I'm with thee. I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him, listen now, for my glory. You see, God's glory is at stake. You who believe, you are a new creation. You are a glorious creation in Christ. I've created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I've made him. He said, he's mine. He's mine. And then last of all, to whom shall we go? The Lord said, will you also go away? They said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I have a hope of being completely, fully saved, body, soul, and spirit. Standing before God, blameless. Blameless. And I have God's word on it. I have God's word on it. And Jesus Christ is my hope. He's all my hope. Brother, that's a gospel hope. That's a gospel hope. All right.